Well, if you haven't been with us, we've been in a series called What's Next? Four places on the road of discipleship. And kind of where we've been at is we had the resurrection, and then we see in the book of Acts, we see the disciples were told to wait for the promise of the Spirit, and they had to wait, and they prayed, and they waited some more. And then the Spirit was given, and they were baptized in the Spirit with power to go out and be witnesses. And so we're talking about what happens in our life with those situations that perplex us. What happens when we get in situations where we don't know what to do, and we have to say it, we ask ourselves, well, what's the next thing? What do we do next? And we've been talking about the four places on the road of discipleship, and they're here on your screen. They're waiting, praying, going, and telling. And in our lives as disciples of Christ, we see in these four pathways, we go over these pathways again and again. And the Lord has us on these different pathways at certain times in our lives to develop us and to grow our character, to grow our knowledge of Him and our love of Him, and also to send us and go out and to build others up in the most holy faith. And last week, we talked about praying. It's about the road of praying and why is that important for us. And we talked about, the question was, what does the path of prayer create in the life of the disciple and in the body of Christ? And we just talked about, just real briefly last week, that prayer creates camaraderie in prayer, there's constancy in prayer, and there's connectedness in prayer. And we talked about how prayer wasn't just sitting there by yourself talking to the empty space and air, but prayer was a two-way dialogue with God our Father. And it's also with others as we jointly petition the Father through and partnering within the Holy Spirit for requests and petitions. And so that's what we talked about last week, how those three things happen in prayer when we gather together to pray. Well, today we're going to talk about the third road, and we're going to be talking about going. What is the pathway of going look like in the life of a disciple? So my question is this: how many of you love to go places? Anybody like to go places, do things? Okay, all right. How many of you like to stay home and not go anywhere? Yeah, some people are pointing at the person next to him, yes. Some of us have an adventurous spirit, right? And to that degree, we want to go do new things. Some of us, we're okay, we're staying home. It's all right. Well, the disciples were given the command to go. They were given the command to go, but my question for us is, did all of them go? And what would have happened if the disciples would have stayed in the upper room? What would have happened if Jesus said, I want you to go out into all the world, and they just said, oh, we're good, Jesus, we're going to stay right here. You and I would have never known a loving Savior, potentially. We never would have seen the world being transformed by the Gospels. The disciples decided just to stay. Have you ever thought about that? What would have happened if they said, no, we're good? On your screen here, there's three kind of setup verses for our main text here, but I want us to look at. In today's pathway of going, what does it look like to go in our life as disciples? First is this, 2 Thessalonians 3:1. This is Paul writing to the young church in Thessalonica. It's up in northern Greece. And he says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as it happened among you. The NLT and some other versions of NIV might say spread rapidly. And he says, may the word of the Lord spread rapidly. Paul hoped that the gospel would go before him and go very quickly to all the cities and the surrounding towns. And then secondly, look at here on this on your screen, Mark 16:15. This is Jesus speaking to disciples, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. It's interesting, Jesus didn't say, go to Jerusalem and then stop, guys, or hey, go to Greece and stop. But he said, go into all the world, which was a familiar verse we all know. And then Mark 16, 19-20, the end of this kind of dialogue where Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. It's interesting there, in all these three verses which are setting up our message for today, there's an action of going out. Do you see the action verbs here? The three words are speed ahead, go, and they went out. It all involves an action of going. What's interesting, and Jesus didn't tell the disciples to, hey, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to give you power. I want you then just to go sit for a while. He didn't say, I just want you to go to Jerusalem and know more. He said, I want you to go out to all creation and know the good news and know the hope. Jesus' call to disciples was one of action, and the action was going to places where the captives needed to be set free. We know that Jesus said, I have come to set captives free. But in all these verses, the object of these verbs was the gospel being promoted and going out to every nation and every tribe and every tongue. That was the goal of this imperative to go out and do something. Now, the disciples, you know, we all know the story. The disciples were filled, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were in the upper room praying, waiting on the promise. And they received the promise, and they were filled, and they were given power to go out to be what? To be witnesses, right? Acts 1:8, right? You will receive power when I come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. What's interesting is, to be a witness, what does that require? That requires you and I to do two things, to go and to open up our mouths. Those two things. To go doesn't mean we get to sit here, hide ourselves, close the door, and, you know, be all good with that. Going doesn't just say, hey, all the introverts in the church, raise your hands. I'm one of them. Hey, you guys go out and go. You guys go out and be the witness only. The rest of us, you know, introverts, we're just going to sit back, have some nice tea, and do our thing. No, right? Jesus doesn't give emotional or personality parameters. He says all of us need to go. But we're going to talk about today is, what does that look like for each of you? Because each one of you is a unique creation in Jesus, right? I don't have to be like you, and you don't have to be like me, but we are all called to go and to do two things, to go and open our mouths. Now, so let's look here at Acts here. We're going to look at our main text here. So it'll be on the screen, but you can turn to with me in your scriptures. But we're going to look at our text for this series is Acts 1 through 5, and we're pulling out some individual verses to highlight kind of a story and look at a bigger picture narrative. So the first verse is this, Acts 2, 46 through 47. And it says, a familiar verse, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The imperative there, that what I want to highlight, it's on your screen, it says, attending the temple together. And then in Acts 3:1, it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Once again, right there, it's highlighted, they were going up. They were. There was movement. They were doing something. They just weren't just sitting, but they were moving and doing something. The next one is this. In Acts 5:12-13, it says this. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico, or your version might say Solomon's colonnade. None of the rest dared to join them. That means the rest of the Jewish people that were coming in and out of the temple complex, which we'll talk about that here in a minute, they didn't want to come be near the new church that was gathering there by the temple. But the people held them in high esteem. And then finally, our main text is Acts 5:42. And every day and in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. And so these are our four main texts I want to pull from us today and kind of look at from a very, like a 30,000-foot view of what were the disciples doing. The disciples were sent to Jerusalem. They waited. They prayed. They were filled with the Spirit and empowerment to go out and be witnesses. Now, what was the next steps? What were they supposed to do next? They might have been asking ourselves, well, what's next? What do we need to do? The disciples probably asked themselves, you know, we have the gospel, but where do we go from here? What do we do with this awesome news, this awesome power that we've been given from Jesus? And so I want to highlight just three things for us, three places you and I can go. And so let's look at them here. The first one is this. Go to places we are familiar with. Go to places we are familiar with. So look at Acts 2:46 and 47. Let me get there myself. Let me turn back in my scriptures here. In Acts 2:46-47, there we go. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And then in 5:12, in chapter 5, verse 12, it says, now many signs and wonders were being done among the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. Two things here I want to highlight. The first thing is, we can go to places we are familiar with. On the road of discipleship. The disciples here, what's interesting is the disciples didn't instantly go to Athens. They didn't go to the ends of the earth. They went to the homes, which they'd been gathering in, and they went back to the Temple Mount, which would have been a familiar practice for the Jews in the first century to go, offer the sacrifices, gather together at the Temple Mount. Now, the Solomon's portico, if you don't know the Temple Mount, think of it, if the temple was a big square compound. On the outside of the compound was a colonnade. Everybody know what a colonnade is, right? There was big columns and a roof, and that surrounded the Temple Mount complex. That was Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's portico, and that is where a lot of people met to do business and or converse or come up to the temple, and some were coming in, some were going out. You could stop there, have a conversation, and catch up with one another. And disciples were used to going to these familiar places. They didn't, like I said, they didn't immediately go to the ends of the earth, but they went to their own people. And if you remember, what did Jesus tell the disciples? He said in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." When we know there's a natural progression, local, kind of regional, state, and then the nations. And I want to encourage us, on your path of discipleship, God wants you to go to places you're familiar with. Now, of course, he calls us to uncomfortable areas. But however, how many of us, sometimes we go to our familiar places and we don't share the gospel with people that we know. We're familiar with people, but we just don't share the gospel. And so my question to us is, are we going to places that we are comfortable with and can share the gospel? We see from these first five chapters in Acts, the disciples went to things they were familiar with, but they didn't just go and show up at Solomon's portico and just sit there and be like, "How you doing? God bless you." They didn't just stand there. What did they do? They opened up their mouth. And in the homes, as they gathered with homes, they didn't just go to, you know, John's home or Drew's home or Steve's home and just sit down and have some good bread and just, you know, stop. But they talked about Jesus. They talked about Jesus. Have you seen? Let me tell you what Messiah did for me. Let me tell you how I've been healed or restored or redeemed. They went to their familiar places, but they opened up their mouths to share the gospel. And for us, for you and I here in Sioux City and Siouxland region, I want to challenge us. Are you going to places you're familiar with and sharing the gospel? A lot of times, you know, you hear the stories, oh, God's going to, you know, if you become a Christian, God's going to call you to Africa. Or we're going to call you to some, you know, Timbuktu. I remember a lot of times I talk to young people that want to go into ministry, and they're like, "I'm so afraid God's going to call me to this place, or I'm going to have to go to, you know, Alaska in the middle of the winter or something." Yeah, Siberia, whatever, yeah. But I encourage them. God wants you to go first, like he said to his disciples, to Jerusalem. Go to familiar places and open your mouth. Share the gospel. Start local. Who you know. Where's the local places you go to consistently? Go there and share the gospel. Secondly is this. Where can you go on the path of discipleship? You can go to places big and small. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And in 42, it says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is the Lord." And what I want to highlight here, the disciples went to the big temple complex. If you don't know the temple complex there in the first century, it was huge. It encompasses acres and acres. It was one of, some historians say it was the eighth wonder of the world back then. And historians know and have documented many people came around the ancient Near East to see the temple. Even though they weren't believers in God, or you know, they weren't Christians, and that people wanted to see the ancient temple complex because it was so vast and beautiful. They wanted to see what Herod the Great had built up, and so think about this. So you had a massive complex they went to, and then they went to their little homes, in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem. They met in their homes. They went to big places and small places, and on the path of discipleship for us, and when we were called to go, we're called to go to big places and small places. But the question is, it's on your screen, are we going to all places with the gospel? Some of you are probably more comfortable with small places, right? Small conversations. I'm okay with going to coffee with somebody. Some of us want to go big. I mean, I want to go, you know, out to, I don't know, a big crusade, or I want to go outside to this big event. We all have different comfortability levels, but the gospel needs to go to all places. And the disciples here were just showing us that they went to the big and the small, to the bigger cities, the smaller cities, to the little homes, to the big places. And I want to encourage us on the path of discipleship, we are called to go to all places with the gospel, both big and small. And we have to remember, big doesn't mean better and small doesn't mean bad. And just because something's big or small doesn't matter. But what matters is, are we taking the gospel to all places, wherever God can take us, and wherever our feet take us, or maybe where you have influence, or maybe where you have the ability to get into, take the gospel there. Go to all these different places. And then with this, I want to ask us, you know, are there places that we've created that are off limits to the gospel? Sometimes out of our human pride and out of our maybe our ignorance, sometimes we limit places of the gospel. Where we can take the gospel. Some of us have different comfortability levels of where we can go or places we can be. I remember being in college down in Florida. There's a place called Ybor City down in college. Down in Lakeland, Florida, where I went to school. Anyhow, Ybor was a historic part of Tampa. And it was a historic cigar-making part of Tampa where they had all the cigar factories there. And after a lot of those shut down, it became a place of really of a nightclub place, a lot of drugs, a lot of just crazy stuff. And I remember there was our professor. We were going to go down there and do some outreach. And I remember some of the students, they were like, "Oh, you know, the gospel can't go there. We're not going to go down there. Those people are just off limits, and that, you know, they've kind of reaped their own, you know, abuse on them, and they're going to, you know, reap what they've sown." And I remember my professor challenging us with this. You know, are there places that we say, "Oh, the gospel can't go there," because they're either big or small, or they're culturally taboo? And he encouraged us that no, the gospel is meant for all places. It meant for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, everywhere. But he reminded us that some of you might have your conscience, the Holy Spirit might allow you to do that. Some of you can't do that. Just like Paul, if you remember in Acts 16, remember Paul's call, the man of Macedonia. Remember in his sleep, remember Paul saw a man standing in Macedonia, which would have been northern Greece, saying, "Come over here, Paul, come on over here." And in Acts 16, 6 through 10, Paul talks about this, where this in his dream, he saw this guy asking him to come to northern Greece, but he felt the Holy Spirit was blocking him from going down into southern Turkey, which was back down to his first missionary journey. And if you read in Acts chapter 16 and 17, you see that Paul, you know, the Holy Spirit was blocking him from doing ministry down in southern Turkey, but the Holy Spirit allowed him to go into and drew him over into Greece, which from that point, we can, if we go back in time in history, in church history, we can pinpoint how the gospel spread to all of Europe from that missionary trip Paul did, because he listened to the Spirit and he didn't say, "Oh, no, I don't want to go over there." Paul wanted to go down to Asia. He was limiting himself. He said, "No, those people, I'm good. I don't want to go there. This is where I want to go." But the Spirit said, "No, you need to go here." And then from there, we know Paul sent some of his associates down into Asia to help strengthen the churches and all that. And so where I'm going is sometimes we might think, well, that place is off limits and this place is better. But God wants to remind us that he wants to send his gospel to all places, all nations. But some of you might have a gifting or a special ability to go into certain places or certain ministries. You know, there's certain ministries where people, they go into brothels or, you know, overseas, some of our missionaries. Some of them have a special calling where they can go into those places. Some people can't handle that or can't do that. And that's okay, but the gospel has to go everywhere. And we have to be careful to make sure we don't limit the gospel and places it can go. And so I want to challenge us on the path of going in your discipleship, go to big and small places and go to places that maybe you think maybe are off limits. The gospel can go there as long as you have the power of the Spirit working behind you. And then lastly is go with regularity. Go with regularity. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They were going up. And then look over at 542, which we just read again. Once again, they were together in the temple day by day and meeting each other's homes and breaking bread. And my question for us here is this: are we consistently going to places and people groups that need the gospel? What we see in these two verses is that the disciples went up regularly to pray at the time of prayer. We know in the first century there during Jesus' time, there was prayer at 9, noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the temple for prayer. Remember, who else did that? Daniel. Remember Daniel? He had 3 times of prayer. Daniel prayed during the day. So we know this was a custom of the Jews at this time, and so the disciples kept doing that. And then secondly, we know in chapter 5, they met in the temple day by day, and they met at houses day by day. They were consistently doing something. And so part of going in our path of discipleship is going with regularity. Are you seeking God out? Are you going to engage in the body of Christ with regularity? Are you going out to meet with people or trying to talk to people about Jesus with regularity? Now, once again, I want to be clear. It's not legalism. It's not, "Oh, you got to do this every day at this time." It's just, once again, are you moving towards that more? Or are you moving away from the commands of God in your life and the commands of Scripture? Are you trying to meet with people, trying to go out? Are you trying to gather? Are you doing that with regularity? Are you trying to pray and engage God and read your Scriptures and then using that as a springboard to going out and witnessing to people? We don't need to use excuses in our life to not meet with people. There's too many times that people use excuses to say, "Oh, I'll read my Bible once," or "I'll witness to somebody once." And then they step back and, you know, it's months or years, and then they try to do it again. Christ wants us to be regularly meeting together, praying for one another, encouraging the body, regularly talking to people about the hope that we have when we meet people at Hive or at Walmart. Now, once again, you do it in a unique way that God's made you, but we're supposed to be doing that regularly. The disciples showed us here in the early church, the beginning, that they were doing things regularly with consistency, and they were meeting, and they were encouraging the body. And so that's for us today, is are you constantly going to places and people groups that need the gospel? Right? Are you doing that regularly? It doesn't do us any good to meet once, tell somebody once about Jesus, and then you live the rest of your life for your own sake. We know what Scripture says about that. That's not the call that he's given us. But the call is that we go out regularly talking with people, sharing the good news again and again and again. And then lastly here, as I close here, the fourth thing is this. Answer the call to go. On the path of discipleship, have you answered the call to go in your own life? Now, this call to go is two things. It can be a vocational call to ministry, or it can be a call to go to that one, to reach the one, or go to that one place maybe you know the Holy Spirit's leading you to go to, and you don't want to do it, but the Lord is putting a call out to his people to go. In Isaiah 6, 8, and 9, the prophet Isaiah's call to ministry. And in the first six chapters, it's leading up. We're seeing Israel has been captive, going back and forth. They are walking away from the Lord. And the Lord says this. He says, I heard this, Isaiah. And then the Lord says, he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And he, the Lord, said, go and say to this people. And from there, the next two chapters, Isaiah declares to the people what the Lord had given them, what he had revealed to them. And so this last point for us is on the path of discipleship is are you answering the call to go? The call to go in your own life. Now, some of you here today, God may be calling you to vocational ministry. And if you are, I encourage you to come see me afterwards and let's talk about that. Or God maybe is calling you to help with the ministry or something like that. But God is also calling us to go and speak to our people, to speak to the people of Siouxland. Speak to the people of the United States. Speak to the people of seafaring nations, or maybe the people in Africa, or the people in South America. Maybe he's even talking to you to talk to that cashier at Hy-Vee, or maybe that's somebody you run into at Walmart, you see a long-lost neighbor or friend you haven't seen forever. God wants us to answer the call to go. God doesn't want his people to sit and be still and just be church, you know, pew warmers here, you know? God says go into all creation. Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And all these verses we see that Jesus gives, there's an imperative, there's a motion to go and to be. And I know all you know this, many of you know this, it's not new, but are we answering that call? What would have happened if Isaiah said, nope, I'm good. He heard the Lord saying, hey, who will go for us? And what if Isaiah felt the prick, felt the leading of the Spirit, but he said, no, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to be comfortable. What would have happened to Israel? What would have happened? I believe the Lord would have found someone else, and Isaiah would not have had the chance to be used by God. And just like you and I here today, if we don't answer that call to go, whatever that call looks like for you, that call that the Lord has put on your heart, it's going to look so unique because each one of you are unique, and God wants to save people uniquely all through his power and his word, but you have to answer that call to go. And church, today I want to encourage you, we need to answer that call. And many of you may not come into vocational full-time ministry. Some of you may not be able to go overseas, or maybe God's not calling you to start a ministry like Youth for Christ, something like that, but God can call each of you to go somewhere. Go to that coworker at lunch. Go to that neighbor. Go to that friend. Go to that long-lost relative. Go to whoever it is. You can answer that call to go because I believe the Lord wants people to be saved. He wishes that none to perish and all to come to a saving knowledge of him. But if we don't answer that call to go in our life, people are not going to be changed with the gospel. And so that's where I want to end today, is this, are you answering the call? And do you need to answer the Lord's call to go in your life today? Whatever that looks like, are you willing to answer that call to go? Now, once again, it can be creative. It may be a call to, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom, or maybe you're a retiree, whatever that call looks like, that call can be very unique and special, but you have to answer that and go. But in that call, the call to go, as we've seen in Scripture, is not call to go and sit. It's call to go and to open our mouth and to preach the good news in all different ways with creativity. And next week, we're going to be talking about telling. What does it mean on the path of discipleship to tell others about Jesus when we go and when we answer the Lord's call to go? What does that look like to tell others? But I just encourage you to pray for you as your pastor, as your friend, answer the call to go in your life, whatever that looks like. Maybe that means going to a new job, or maybe it means moving to preach the gospel more. Whatever that looks like in your life, do that, okay? And so with that, let's pray here. As that was my last point. So let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord to send us and answer that call in our lives to go and to preach his word. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you today, and we say thank you for your word. Thank you for the disciples' example of going. Of going to big places, small places, going around the ancient Near East to spread your good news. God, we just pray today that, God, we would answer the call like Isaiah did, that, God, when you call and ask us to go, that we would say, yes, Lord, send us. Send me, I'll go. God, I pray today, God, for the future missionaries, the future pastors, God, for the future conversations we're going to have in our neighborhoods and at this marketplace, that, God, we will go, we will open up our mouth. God, I pray that you give us supernatural boldness. God, fill us and baptize us with your Spirit. Once again, that God, we would be, God, be your witnesses, and that God, signs and wonders would be performed all in your name, Jesus. God, we say thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for everything you are accomplishing through our lives in this church. But God, may we be a going church. May we be a sending church. May we, God, not just sit still, but may we be active about your business, Father, that you want none to perish, but all to come to a saving faith in you. So God, I just pray that we would respond to you today. God, may you, Holy Spirit, come and guide us in truth and wisdom, and whether we need to turn to the left or the right, you, Holy Spirit, guide us and use us for your kingdom. God, grow us on this path of discipleship as we go again and again, and as we listen to your calling. We just say thank you that you use us. Thank you, God, that you have called us by name and that you've given each of us unique talents and treasures to give and to serve you, Jesus. And we just pray this all in your strong and mighty name. Amen. And amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come forward. Or if you want to talk about if God's calling you to do something or go, come forward and let's talk about that. Because we want to, as our church, we want to equip you. We want to help you with that. Whatever that calling, whatever that going looks like, that's what we're here for. And so with that, we love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.